About $90 million worth of flight credits with Virgin Australia are set to expire in just 2 days' time. The credits date back to the COVID period, but the equivalent credits with Qantas and Jetstar don't have an expiry date. Consumer group Choice says that the COVID-19 pandemic exposed significant flaws in aviation consumer protections. And Cindy Lee, senior lecturer in tourism and hospitality from Torrens University, examined Virgin's soon-to-be-disappearing flight credits in The Conversation this week. And I'm very pleased to say she joins us now on Sunday Extra. Welcome, Cindy.
Hi, Julian. Thank you for having me.
Now, these credits date back to the COVID period. So that's tickets issued between the 21st of April 2020 and the 31st of July 2022, just to trigger some post-traumatic stress for everyone. But Virgin did change its policy on these tickets only just a few days ago, on the 19th of June. What change did they make and why?
I think before we dive into that, it's important to note that Virgin Australia has made several changes to the policies and specifically extensions to the expiry date.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at September 2023 onwards up until today, they have made three changes. What we should note is the most recent change that you mentioned, Julian, on the 19th of June, there was only an extension to the travel date as to when travelers can travel, but they will still have to make that booking by the 30th of June.
And this is why it's timely to be discussing this, because under the new Virgin policy, you can book flights through to May 2027, but you have to book them by the 30th of June 2026. And after that time, all those other credits will disappear from the consumer's perspective, although not necessarily from the company's perspective.
Yes, indeed. And I guess that's why there's been such intense political and public backlash around this. Around the airline potentially retaining funds that were initially paid by customers for a service that was not delivered.
Mm.
There's also extensive news coverage around it, especially from the shadow transport minister, Senator Bridget McKenzie, which has called this move as not being good enough. There's also precedent set by other airlines. As you mentioned earlier, Qantas and Jetstar have removed completely the expiry dates. And with this most recent change, Virgin hasn't taken that same approach.
Interesting. So hopefully, if there's anyone with Virgin credits that still have a couple of days to go listening now, that'll give them an opportunity to use them or lose them. But Cindy, what action has Virgin itself taken to alert people to the expiry of these credits?
That's a really good question. And according to Virgin, they have taken extensive efforts and sent regular reminders to affected customers or credit holders over several years. But the outreach has been largely focused on email notifications and reminder campaigns. And we know what it's like with emails. We live in a world of information overload. We often miss emails, especially when they're mixed with promotional emails.
Yeah, well, often they just get routed into a different tab and you never really see them.
Exactly. They get filtered into a secondary inbox with all the other promotional emails. So you don't take notice of them. Sometimes we ignore them because we think they are scams. I mean, we are all on high alert when it comes to scams. And if we compare that to what Qantas has done, I'm sorry, I'm making this comparison a lot because I think that the whole backlash is rooted in the precedence that's been set by other airlines and what's fair to consumers and what's perceived as unfair. Qantas has used a combination of emails. They have sent text messages. They have made phone calls to remind customers who have unused travel credits. So in Virgin's most recent policy change, they did state that they will step up the consumer outreach and awareness efforts to encourage people to check their balance in case they are unaware they have unused travel credits and to encourage them also to use them by the deadline.
And Cindy, why is it that the Virgin COVID credits are more restrictive than Qantas and Jetstar? I mean, call me cynical, but is it just the case that Qantas and Jetstar are just being incredibly generous, or have they been forced into the positions that they've taken?
Yeah, I think it's a very valid question. There's definitely some background to this. Back in 2023, there was a class action taken against Qantas about consumers' refund rights because it was stated that many consumers who were entitled to cash refunds were instead given travel credits with restrictions and with expiry dates. And following this class action in August of 2023, Qantas then removed expiry dates from their COVID travel credits. They later allowed customers holding these travel credits to seek refunds indefinitely. And with Jetstar, because it's a subsidiary airline to Qantas, they have also been impacted by this class action, indirectly impacted, and they too have removed expiry dates, meaning that they can be used indefinitely.
So it does seem that there's been consumer pressure on both fronts, but still the outcome in the case of Virgin is not as beneficial to the consumer as for Qantas and Jetstar. I did wonder, Cindy, is another factor here that Virgin went into administration during COVID? And so I just assume that the financial pressures on Virgin are greater than they were on Qantas and Jetstar.
That is definitely one of the possible factors that have led into this. But also, if we look at terms set by airlines for these travel credits, the expiry dates can be extended, you know, at the discretion of the airline. So a lot of the rights at the moment still sit with whether or not the airline would want to extend the expiry date. Virgin and Qantas, they are in slightly different positions. There's a lot of pressure on Qantas back in 2023 because of that class action. Whereas in terms of Virgin, a lot of the publicity and backlash is coming from politicians, consumer advocacy groups, and consumers themselves. So the circumstances are a bit different. And I guess that sort of explains why the way they have responded to this is also quite different. But I think what you've mentioned around that voluntary administration, I would say it's quite likely that that would be a contributing factor to this.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Dr. Cindy Lee, Senior Lecturer in Tourism and Hospitality at Torrens University. And Cindy co-authored the conversation piece this week. Time's running out to book Virgin flight credits before June 30. What are your refund rights? And that indeed is the big question, Cindy. I noticed that Virgin, in its latest financial reports back in February, put the total of these COVID credits at $93 million. And they classified the term they use is unearned passenger revenue, which I think is probably quite a good name for it. Unearned does seem accurate. Can Virgin credit holders just get their money back rather than using a credit to book a flight sometime between now and May 2027? And if not, why not?
The short answer is no. But there are alternatives we can explore. If we look at Virgin, they store all of their travel credits in a travel bank. And as I mentioned before, it has discretion on whether or not the airline would like to extend that expiry date. And in that revised policy, it is implied that you as a consumer have the right to seek a refund, but it does not state the grounds upon which Virgin will actually issue the refund.
Right. So you've got the right to ask, but there's no guarantee that you'll get a yes.
Yeah. So in short, it can't hurt to give it a go, to plead your case with Virgin, but there are no guarantees. The other option beyond this is to also look at your travel insurance. If you did purchase a travel insurance, have a look to see whether they cover unused airline issued travel credits, because sometimes this is covered as lost prepaid expenses, unused vouchers, or non-refundable portions of original airfares. And in this case, this would be classified as a non-refundable portion. So it's worth checking with your insurer and also your particular policy as to whether or not you could claim some money back from what you initially paid. And as a last resort, to revert to Australian consumer law by submitting a claim to Virgin citing your consumer law rights.
Yes, of course, there is the Australian consumer law, which through the checkout I've been a big advocate for over the years, although it was interesting that the Senate committee report looking into some federal aviation reforms noted that, generally speaking, trying to activate your consumer law rights beyond just asking Virgin involves costs itself, and so sometimes it's not going to be cost effective for customers. Overall though, Cindy, it doesn't seem like a great situation for Australian consumers. In your piece, you point out that Europe has a simpler and better process as you see it. So how do things work in Europe?
In Europe, and particularly in the European Union, it is often considered as the most heavily regulated region in the world. And in terms of airline passenger rights, they also have some of the strongest protections for airline passengers. Under its law, it clearly sets out when airlines must provide compensation and also when they must provide refund support or alternative travel arrangements. The compensation amount is also clearly outlined. And depending on the flight distance, you will be entitled to a certain amount of refund. And if we tie this back to what happened during COVID when there was mass cancellation, the law in Europe gave passengers a choice. They could seek a refund in cash, they could reroute their flight, or they could accept a travel voucher if the passenger agrees.
So it flipped the presumption rather than the airline deciding. This was something that individual EU consumers could decide, which does sound better to me, Cindy.
Yeah, I think that's what consumer rights is about, right? It's giving people the option as to how they would like to get a resolution out of a situation where they have their flights cancelled and whether they want to translate that into a travel voucher that they can later use or seek refund if they don't intend to travel in the near future. And sometimes with travel during COVID, it could be that the travel plans were necessary at that point in time, but may no longer be necessary when the borders reopen. And in that instance, people may not have a reason to travel. And getting a cash refund would make sense. And the European Commission reminded airlines that they could not force passengers to accept vouchers if they would want a refund. So that was very different to the situation in Australia, where a lot of passengers were issued travel credits. And to seek refund, it often involves lengthy processes or disputes about, whether or not you are eligible for a refund. So the process itself is also quite complicated. And as you said before, sometimes it's a matter of whether people would be able to invest that amount of time to go through that process.
And do you have a sense, Cindy, of whether those reforms in the EU have been effective in making it much more user-friendly for passengers to be able to get their actual money back rather than a sort of notional voucher?
Oh, 100%. I think it's pretty straightforward. It's not just how it's stipulated in the law, but in terms of how it's enforced, the airline also needs to make the process straightforward and easy for consumers. In Australia, it's very different because passengers' rights, they're spread across the contract terms that the airline sets. Part of it also relates to the Australian Consumer Law and the ACCC, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission's enforcement of that consumer law. So there's not one body of authority that is outlining exactly what airlines have to do. And that makes it a lot more blurry in terms of what consumer rights are.
Well, with that in mind, the federal parliament does currently have before it a bill called the Aviation Consumer Protection Bill 2026, which is a promising name. Would that bill, if passed, Cindy, give airline passengers a clear and simple right to a refund rather than a travel credit like they have in Europe?
I think at this stage it's quite early for us to determine. But what this bill creates is a new regulatory framework that has three major components. So the first one being an aviation consumer ombuds scheme. And this is an independent body that will handle complaints between passengers and airlines. The second being an aviation consumer protection authority. And this is a new regulator responsible for monitoring airlines' compliance and enforcing consumer protection. So very relevant to what we're speaking today. And thirdly, an aviation consumer protections charter. And that will contain passenger rights and what airline obligations are. So to answer your questions, what rights can we expect at this stage? I guess we can expect airlines to be more prompt and fair in the resolution they offer to customers when it comes to cancellations or flight disruptions, better access and refunds to rebooking assistance, better assistance during disruptions. And also in terms of complaint handling, there will be improvement in this space. But many of these detailed rights are not written into the bill itself. And that's why I mentioned it's too early to tell because they will be set out later in subordinate legislation. And I should also note that at the moment, there is no guaranteed fixed compensation payments like they do have in Europe. So it doesn't state the figure or the amount that an airline will need to compensate the customers in events of cancellations or flight delays or disruptions.
Yes, the proposed aviation consumer rights charter is only at draft stage. And as you said, it's that phrase, prompt and fair remedies for cancellations, which sort of sounds good in principle, but is a long way away from a specific and clear refund right. And that's only if the legislation's passed. It's also interesting when you pointed to the patchwork of consumer rights in Australia for aviation customers, that what this bill would do is introduce another element into the scheme. So we're certainly not going to have simplification when it comes to aviation customer rights. I guess in the short term, the message is that if you are a Virgin COVID legacy potential passenger with a credit, you've got to get cracking because there's only 2 days left. And hopefully there will be clearer and better consumer rights for aviation customers in Australia when that bill is passed. But for the moment, it's wait and see.
That's the hope, Julian. That's the hope for the future.
Dr. Cindy Lee, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you for having me, Julian.
And Cindy is Senior Lecturer in Tourism and Hospitality at Torrens University, and she co-wrote the recent conversation piece, Time's Running Out to Book Virgin Flight Credits Before 30 June. What are your refund rights?
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.